Let our hearts be refreshed this day. Thank you for this local fellowship, this community of believers who just choose to come together and receive the love of the Father, who just choose to love one another, who choose to serve you in our communities day by day. Thank you that you're equipping us with your life. Thank you that we're not nervous about nothing. Thank you, Jesus, you are Lord of all. So we give you praise this morning. Now let our hearts be tender as we receive the word this day in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Wonderful. Thank you, Lucy. Well, of course, Christmas is all about giving and all about gifts. And like it's been announced, there's gifts for you all the kids today, and probably a few little snacks and goodies and gifts for you too, if you hang out. So just get ready for the concept of receiving. You know, gift is kind of diminished in our culture. We seem to always have strings attached. You ever see announcements on TV or even you go on Christian television channels sometimes and people say, we have a gift for you. But there's always strings attached. Have you noticed that we have a gift for you if you give a gift of $19.95 or something like that? You know, there's always a string attached. Sometimes we're not very comfortable with the idea of gift, but Christmas, Christ, Mass means celebration, Christ means anointing. The celebration of Jesus is all about gift. It has nothing to do with merit. There's no strings attached. And we got to somehow get comfortable with the gospel being all about the gift. With no strings attached, it's not merit-based of any kind. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says this. It says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. In other words, the gift of Jesus has no words that fully explain it. The gift of Jesus makes no sense to your human capacity to understand. It's all gift. It's an indescribable gift where you have been imparted or imputed with right standing or the righteousness of God. It's a beautiful thing. It's an amazing thing. It's the heart of the Father. It's the life of God in Christ. So Jesus is the gift of God for everyone everywhere. And he keeps giving. In other words, it's the gift that doesn't ever get exhausted. You can take and take and take and take some more. In fact, in the physical life of Jesus, you'll find that when Jesus was always giving and giving and giving, his disciples came to him and said, you must be exhausted. And he said, no, this is what stirs my heart. This is what makes me happy. This is what motivates me, is the capacity that the Father has toward you to meet you at your very point of need. And of course, you know the famous verse, John 3:16, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So this is the gift of God, Jesus, that whoever just believes, just whoever knows how to receive, has everlasting life. And that is the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, during this Christmas season, I love to review the stories in the gospel of the birth of Jesus and the announcement of Jesus in the earth and even the announcement to Mary that she's going to conceive and bring forth a son and his name is going to be Jesus and he's going to save the people from their sins and all these wonderful announcements and pronouncements and how Mary just received the gift by saying, let it be for me. And sometimes when you hear the gospel, it's such good news. You have to get comfortable where there's no strings attached from your angle. You don't have to qualify. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to be so-called moral enough. You don't have to be anything except who you are. And believe and receive what God has for you. And that's the joy of receiving what God has granted. When the angels announced the message of the gift in Luke 2, verse 10 and 11, this is what the Bible said. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And we have to understand during this season of the year, but every day of the year, that the gift of God is for everyone, everywhere. And then the angel said in verse 11, there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who's Christ the Lord. You know, a Savior saves irregardless of your participation. A Savior saves irregardless of your capacity to assist. A Savior saves irregardless of you pitching in. This is the beauty of the Savior. It's not being saved if and when you do certain things. It's being saved just strictly because this is what He does. And He does it so perfectly. You know, I don't know why I lived my life so long being uncomfortable with a gift. I think especially in our Christendom, some of our religious communities, some of our belief systems, we all like to qualify for things. We all like to feel good about ourselves. We all like to feel we've been moral enough. We all like to feel like we've been upright enough. You know, I used to think, man, I'm really good. I haven't really got in, you know, violent anger for a whole week. You know, I must be in a place where God can bless me. Or, you know, I haven't had a bad thought, you know, for 2 weeks. My self-discipline is really, I must be in a place now for blessing. I would always try to attach myself from experiencing just who He is and what He has for me. And we like to qualify for things. We like to feel good about ourselves. We like to be moral enough or upright enough. We like things to be based on merit. And our society has taught us this. Our society proclaims that everything is based on working hard enough. Society says if you play by the rules, you know, even scholarships, you know, are all merit-based. It's all based on your efforts and your capacities. You know, even immigration, you know, in our country now, they all want it merit-based. If you really got something to give, then maybe you could get in. But, you know, the kingdom of God, hallelujah, the kingdom of God is different than the USA government, hallelujah. It's even different than the way you think, and it's different than the way I think. The kingdom of God is all gift-based. And we need to be thrilled and excited with a gift. We need to relate to our loved ones not based on merit. We need to relate to our loved ones not based on did they do good enough? Were they good enough to us? We need to learn how to reach out to people the way God reached us with nothing but massive grace. And I think if we can understand how grace has granted us access to the Father, we'll have a little grace to those around us. God's ways are different than our ways. God's ways are higher. His kingdom is all a kingdom of gift. It's all unmerited favor. Many times this gift concept makes us mad. It really frustrates us because we would rather pat ourselves on the back that we did something. I used to think, man, I used to always fast at this time of year. Many, many years ago, I would go on these long fasts. And I was proud if I could announce to all my friends and partners, man, I fasted for 2 weeks, nothing but water. I was so proud of myself, you know. I fasted 21 days, you know, all these different things. But now I just eat, drink, and be merry. Hallelujah. And I reach. You know, I've learned my life is based on gift. It's all gift. Now, there are times God, of course, draws me into my fellowship with Him where I may miss a meal or two or three or a day or two or three or something. But it's not based on motivating me to get anything. It's based on just having the enjoyment of what the gift is and what the gift provides. Let me explain this whole idea. I want to speak to you a little bit today. My title is called Have Some. Just Have Some. It's the gift of God. Just have some. Just have some. Have the gift of God. I've got a little bowl. I was looking for a platter. I couldn't find a platter, so I found a bowl. And this is Hershey's chocolate, and all the saints said, amen. How many know that Christmas time is a time for chocolate? How many believe that chocolate is the will of God, despite what you read on the internet? But let's just for sake of illustration this morning, let's just pretend I'm coming out down among all the different saints here in the auditorium and in the sanctuary, and I'm saying, just have some. Now, some of you would have some to be polite to me because I offered it to you. Some of you would say, no, thank you, because you've read that chocolate is bad for you, right? Or some of you would say, oh, no, thank you. In your mind, you would say, I'm on a diet. And that would include about 3/4 of us. You know what I mean? Heidi and I were on forever diets. But we look at each other some evenings when we're getting ready to eat, and I say, let's start that particular portion of the diet mañana. Hallelujah. Let's. But it seems like we're always on it. So we say, oh, there's too many calories in chocolate. Now notice, these chocolates aren't Godivas. These chocolates aren't, Russell Stovers. This isn't See's chocolate. This isn't Fannie Mae. This is Hershey's chocolate, okay? So this is the best chocolate in the world. And there's all kinds of chocolate in here. And this is the gift I'm going to give you at our little fellowship this morning. I will be out there passing this around and fill your pockets up. But the idea is to have some. When God gives the gift of Jesus, we just don't know how to take. We just don't know how to receive and call it our own. We don't know how to take from the gift and believe it's ours. We don't know how to take from Jesus and say, we are righteous. We are the righteousness of God. We don't know how to take just the gift of Jesus, believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, and say, we have the joy of the Lord. We don't know how to just take the gift and say, I have the wisdom of God. I have the mind of Christ. But what God wants us to do is he wants us to learn how to just have some and just receive and not base it on you, not base it on your capacity to be good enough, not base it on your church attendance record, hallelujah, not base it on giving, hallelujah, not based on your morals or your thought life or your this or your that, hallelujah. How about just taking some? How about just believing that God is so good that he gives Jesus, and Jesus is our everything? That Jesus is our life. Jesus is our solution. So have some. It is the gift of God. You might say, no, thank you, because you're trying to be polite. But we have to come to the place that God gives his gifts to everyone, his love, his life, and it's there just for the taking. It's just there by saying, okay, I'll have a handful. I'll have seconds, please. I'll have thirds. You know, that's the, what I do in feeding on Jesus. This is what you do every time you come and you listen to our pastor preach. For example, Josh last week finished his series on the book of Hebrews. Wasn't that excellent, the whole book of Hebrews? Did you ever think, go ahead, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. It's awesome. Did you ever think that you would actually read through the book of Hebrews? And yet you did just by sitting in church. He read every verse, taught every verse, thrilling, for the 13, 14 weeks, whatever it was. It was thrilling. I told Josh this week, I said, Josh, we need to get your materials in book form. It's thrilling. People can go over it again and again and again and receive and receive and receive. And as he was teaching on the book of Hebrews, I just sat and when I was here or when I would watch it, you know, on Facebook Live or something when I'm traveling, I always watch the online version or there's also there's a podcast, you know, Mission City Church podcast. I listen to the podcast. You just go over it. And all I do when he's preaching on the book of Hebrews is say, I'll take some. I'll take some. Thank you. I'll take it. I'll believe it. God remembers my sin no more. I'll believe it. I like it. I think I have another bite of that. Hallelujah. I need that. It's good. See, the gospel is all gift-based. And this is what the beauty of it is. Notice how Jesus dealt with people who felt disqualified. Notice that when the gift is present and people are confronted with the gift, it will overwhelm your human capacity where you just want to receive. Notice a story in John chapter 4, verse 10. This is when Jesus met that little lady, the woman of the well. You know the story. In verse 10, it says this, Jesus answered and said to this little lady, if you knew the gift of God. See, I'm convinced people don't know about the gift. I'm convinced people don't really, really believe that the gift is all gift. You know, it's amazing how many people I talk to that when you talk to them about Jesus or church, they put their head down in shame like they're not good enough. Listen, you're pre-approved. Just eat. Just drink. Just let the Father love you. So Jesus said to this lady, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would ask of him. You would ask of him and he would give you living water. Notice this lady was not a Jewish lady. So she didn't know any Bible verses. She didn't know the books of Moses. She was an outsider. She was a Gentile. She was a Samaritan. In fact, in the culture of that day, the Jewish people, didn't like the Samaritan people. There was contention. There was ethnic strife. So she was an outsider, and she was a sinner. In fact, she wasn't just a sinner. She excelled in it. She was a real good sinner. You know, it's good to know that you're the chiefest of sinners. It's good to know that. Paul thought himself as the chiefest of sinners. I tell Josh sometimes, I think I'm the chiefest of sinners. Because when you know that you miss it in one mark of what God has decreed, the Bible says you're guilty of the whole boatload of it. I have a real awareness that I can't qualify for nothing. I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm just like this little lady in a sense of her inadequacy of herself. So she was a sinner. She was a real good one. In fact, the Bible says, if you read the whole story in John 4, that she had five husbands. And she was living with a guy who wasn't her husband. I bet this lady had a story to tell. I bet this lady could have experienced some hardship and pain and maybe verbal abuse or physical abuse or some kind of abuse, rejection, heartache, fear, loneliness. She had five husbands. Then she was living with a dude, Jesus said, who wasn't her husband. And you know, Jesus didn't make a big deal about none of it. You know, Jesus will not make a big deal about your mess. It's okay. Just hang out. And just have some. Have some of the gift of God. Have some of the Lamb of God. Have some of Jesus the Christ. He's indescribable. She had a story. She had hardship. She had pain. Yet she believed she was gift worthy. I want you to think about that. If you write anything on your heart today, I want you to write this on your heart today. Believe that you are gift worthy. Believe that you're worthy of a heavenly gift. Believe it. You're gift worthy, friend. Say it to yourself. I am gift worthy. Believe it. Decree it. She received the gift, not based on her capacity, but based entirely on the one who is giving the gift. And how does the gift change you? The gift changes you by liberating you and allowing you to stand in the truth of your identity uncondemned before God. And you read the whole story in John 4, it's exciting. Man, she went and started talking to everybody. Now think about this. She was telling everybody about the gift, and she never used a Bible verse. She told her story and never told anybody they're going to hell. All she did was announce the beauty of the gift of transformation. I have seen the Messiah. I've seen the one who God sent who forgives. And the Bible says, read the whole story, that many who heard her believed on him. I think it's so fascinating. It's so powerful. She was not ashamed. She was not embarrassed. But she was bold about giving the gift to others. And that's what I hope Christmas does for you. I hope it stirs in your spirit a little bit of boldness, not to be ashamed to say, hey, I believe in the gift that came. The gift transformed me. The life of Jesus, the Savior of the world. Look in John chapter 4, verse 39. The story goes on to say, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did, she said. Verse 40, and when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his own word. Notice that sometimes our testimony gets people to believe on Jesus, but when they get, you know, totally immersed in the love of the Father, their faith rests totally on his word. And that's what we want to bring people to. We want to bring people to the place where Jesus and his word, he is the living word, but where the written word that expresses who he is becomes anchored in your soul. Where you don't live in fear. You don't live in fear of judgment. You don't live in fear of condemnation. You don't live in fear of nothing. You just understand the gift has got me. That Jesus does all things, and he does all things well. Hallelujah. Verse 42 goes on to say, now they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves heard him, and we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. In other words, all she said was, hey, would you have some? Would you have some of the gift? I saw the gift. I believe in it. Would you have some? And they had enough sense and enough courage to believe. And then they had an experience that validated the truth of what the lady said. And I would just want you to know, sometimes life is so busy and so full of hardship and headache and pain. Sometimes when you come to church, you just need to just get something to swallow. Get something to believe. Validate the truth in your heart for the week ahead of you. As you receive communion, you know, as you take the Lord's table, mass, whatever you want to call it, when you celebrate the body and the blood of Jesus, just believe that the gift has got you, that you're righteous, that you're blameless, that you're holy before Him in love. When you accept the gift of God, Jesus, He gives you everything you ever need. Let me show you a verse real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. This is a cool verse. I've shared it with you before, but this is all about the gift of Jesus. This is what you get when you just eat and digest the gift of the Lamb of God. And the grace of our Lord Jesus, verse 14 says, was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. So what is in Christ Jesus is grace, faith, and love. If you feed on the gift of Jesus, now if you eat my little illustration here, if you eat Hershey's chocolate, you're just not going to get nothing but a lot of calories and probably a lot of pimples. And who knows what, you probably gain a lot of weight if you load up on this today. But if you feed, what I'm talking about, if you feed on the Lamb of God, you're going to get an abundance of grace. You're going to get an abundance of faith. And you're going to get an abundance of love. So when I talk about having the gift of God, have some of Jesus, this is the way you gain your favor in life. The way I find favor for our ministry, you know, around the world, the way I find favor for things that we need in our ministry life or personal life or whatever, I find favor by feeding on Jesus. You know, the way I find faith is not by trying to get some. The way I find faith is not of myself. The way I find faith is of Himself. I live by the faith of Jesus, and I feed on Jesus, and I find His faith is my faith. And faith is no longer a problem. You know, when I need love, and I need it constantly, trust me, Heidi could testify of it. You know, because life's full of challenges and situations. But when I need love, I don't try to work up love. God, help me to love you and help me to love people. No, what I do is I feed on Jesus. I just have some. I have some of Him. And I find as I'm feeding on Jesus, I gain the love of God. And this is the way that we can find the beauty of provision in every part of our lives. So I want you to have some today. I want you to have some of Jesus, and some of Jesus is the grace of God. So have some. The grace of God. The grace of God declares that you're favored by the Father. Look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and 10 says this, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Grace is granted as a gift to you. Salvation is a gift to you, but it's all gift. It's not of works, verse 9 says, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmen, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So as you feed on Jesus today and every day and every time you come and worship, just understand that every time you feed on Jesus, the grace of God, the favor of the Father, is your possession. And announce it to yourself. Tell yourself the truth. I have favor with the Father. And tell yourself the truth even when things are going tough. Tell yourself the truth. I have favor with the Father. Feed on Jesus and believe you're digesting the favor of the Father. How about this? If you feed on the gift of God, I said have some and you take some. How about the faith of God? The faith of God. Have some. The faith of God. You know, I've been in ministry now since 1979, September 1979. So long, 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 long time. And I could count, you know, into hundreds and hundreds of people that I've ministered to, not just in America, but around the world who were so disappointed all the time with their faith. And they're always wanting more faith. Oh, Keith, I need more faith. And they're always looking at it like faith is something they have to grab and never have enough of and whatever. You know what really helped me be free from that thinking is to change my worldview a number of years ago. And not trying to grasp faith as something that originated in me and my capacity to read enough or hear enough or say enough or confess enough, but to understand I have the faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Josh mentioned that last Sunday in his message. He quoted that verse. In fact, let's look at that verse real quick. Galatians 2:20. He said, I've been crucified with Christ, Paul the Apostle. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in other words, in your body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Some translations say in the Son of God. Some translations say of, like the King James Version, of the Son of God, who loved me. And he gave himself for me. If you understand the gift gave himself to you, and you just had some, you have the faith of God. It's one thing to tell people to have faith in God, but even having faith in God, I always wondered, man, do I really have faith in God? Am I doubting? You ever have those thoughts? Man, they used to possess me. You don't believe good enough. You don't believe hard enough. You doubted. Those that doubt, I memorized that verse. Those that doubt get nothing from God. I had that one down packed, and I was always nervous. I'm a loser. I don't have enough faith in God. And it drives people crazy, and then they think, oh, I'll never get healed. I'll never be blessed. I'll never have nothing. I don't live that way anymore. Jesus said it this way, Mark 11:22. Jesus said, have faith in God. Some translations say it this way, have the faith of God. In fact, the Dake's Bible says it that way. Young's translation says it that way. Wycliffe translation. There's many translations that give the idea that Jesus was saying, have the faith of God. In other words, faith is the gift in the gift. Faith is the gift in the Lamb of God. And now I always tell myself, faith is not my problem. Because I don't live in faith that I try to work up. I live in a faith that's perfect. The faith of Jesus Christ. I have the faith of God. And you know what the Bible says when you have the faith of God? Jesus said, verily, verily, you can speak to things. When you believe you have the faith of God, you have a momentum in your spirit to announce things. You can decree things. You can say things. You can say, mountain, be moved, cast into the sea. Huh? You can say to the mulberry tree, be picked up and plucked up and cast into the sea. Jesus said that, right? You say things when you possess the gift, the faith of God. And so I want you to look at your life not based on you struggling, trying to get enough grace, or not you struggling trying to get enough faith, but you already got it. Just have some of the gift. Have some of Jesus. Believe that the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, has come, and just partake of Him. Just eat. Just drink. Just be merry and see what your heart says. See what bubbles up out of your heart, what you can speak over your life and over your wife and over your kids and over your world and over your community. See what you can speak with the faith of God. You're not ever as disappointed with the faith of God. You don't cast yourself in the pit of despair and depression if you have the faith of God. The faith of God gives you the ability to say something. It gives you the ability to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. So have some. The grace of God. Have some. The faith of God. Have some. The love of God. The love of God. Hallelujah. You know, the love of God is astonishing. The love of God is in you more than you know. In fact, look at the Bible says. And we've talked about this many times, you know, but God's love for you. Have some of God's love for you. Don't try to worry about your love for Him. Just don't even give that thought yet. Just let God's love for you. Let the gift just wrap you and declare you're righteous. Let the gift just tell you the truth of who you are. And then your love for God will come alive. But just have the love of God, not anything else. And when you just take and feed on the love of God, you know the love of God's ever present. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this. It says, now hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God, your love in God, the love of God, God's love for you, the love of God has been poured out or shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. See, when you partake of Jesus, the gift of God, the love of God is in you. It's ever present. You can't be bad enough to exempt yourself from it. The love of God is ever present. The faith of God is ever present. The grace of God is ever present. And this to me is thrilling. This is the joy I want to have. I want to have the joy just like the little Samaritan lady. In all my brokenness and all my pain and all the heartache and all the hurt, I want to just bubble up with the beauty of the gift of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell people, have some. Just believe and receive the beauty of the Lamb of God. And friend, I believe that when you do, everything about your life can change. Everything about your world can change. And you can just partake in the truth that the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Let me share one other verse with you. Then we're going to share in communion together. Maybe sing another song. But look at Psalm 34, verse 8. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." My prayer for you, precious friend, during this Christmas season, as you just keep tasting of the gift of God and you recognize that your salvation, your life with Christ is all gift, and don't ever be uncomfortable with the truth of what He's done for you, what He has to do through you, and just yield your heart to Him, and you'll see God's abundant blessing in many, many expressions. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together as Josh comes and leads in communion. Father, thanks for loving us. Thanks for your great grace. Thanks for your unending love. Father, we choose just to have some today. We choose to have some of the gift of God. And we say thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Man, you took away the candy. I was getting ready to have some. Or the ushers come forward at this time, and we'll begin passing out the communion elements. You know, I think if Milton Hershey had lived a little bit earlier, Jesus might have used some Hershey chocolate at the Last Supper. Just because, you know, I think when God was fashioning all of the wonderful trees and all of the food for us, you know, when He made the cocoa tree, that was a special sign of His love for us, right? It was a special sign of how much He loves us, of how much He favors us, that, you know, it tastes so good. And, you know, when I love that message, just have some. And you know, sometimes religion can turn the simplest statements of Jesus upside down. And if any of you were here the last 3 months when we were teaching on the Reformation, is, you know, 500 years ago, you know, one thing the church did is that the simplest command of Jesus, which was take, drink, all of you, you know what they did? They didn't give people the cup. Now, the only people who got to drink of the forgiveness of sins was the pastors and the priests, and everyone else, they said, well, you know, I'm sorry, you just get the body. So religion has a great capacity of taking away the gift, right? The thing that Jesus says here, take, I give this to you, everybody drink it. Religion says, well, wait a second, you know, that's just a special gift for us. But no, Jesus has the extended gift of His body. He has the extended gift of His blood for all of you, so that all of us can know that His life is ours, that we can all receive it with thanksgiving. And so I know I normally read from 1 Corinthians, but this morning I'm going to read from Matthew 26, where Jesus institutes the supper, and we'll partake of it together from here. And this is what it says in Matthew chapter 26. In verse 26, it says this, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples." He gave it. And what did He say? He said, "Take, eat." He said, "Have some. This is my body." So let's take and let's eat. "Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Amen.